Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Awesome. Well, I hope you had a great weekend thus far. I pray it gets even better. You know, we started a few weeks ago on this series. At the beginning of the year, we started a series called Pursuing the Best Life Possible. You know, it's my assumption that all of us in this room, we want to pursue the best life possible. I don't think that you prayed at the beginning of this year that your year would go worse than last year, right? You probably prayed something along the lines of, Lord, let this year be even better. But we're moving beyond just saying, Lord, let this year be better. We're praying, Lord, how can our life be better? How can we live the best life possible? And so starting the first week of the year, we took a week of prayer and we prayed about seven things. They're on these banners. You can see them. And now we're kind of preaching through those things you prayed about. And this morning, I want to talk to you about one of the things we're praying for as a church is that we will produce lasting fruit. Now, I've discovered people are really picky about their fruit. Matter of fact, me specifically, there's not a whole lot of fruit that I enjoy, but one of the fruits that I will actually eat without complaining about is bananas. I mean, I've heard they're good for you, but I've discovered that people are pretty picky about their bananas. Is anyone in the room kind of picky about your bananas? Okay, and here's what I've discovered. We all have an opinion on how they're supposed to be. Like, to me, those are gross. I mean, who in the right mind would eat green bananas? But I've heard they exist. You know, that's crazy. And then there's other people that they like their bananas just nice and perfectly yellow. What is wrong with you people? That is not how you eat a banana. The perfect banana is, turn to the next picture. That's the perfect banana. That's it. I mean, I want it to have spots on it. Not too many spots, but at least a few. And then there's some people, they say, like, I don't know, I think they're just making stuff up. But they say, if you'll wait one more stage, that they're really good. But here's the reason we're going bananas this morning is we've all discovered that one thing that all fruit has in common is it doesn't last very long, does it? I mean, it's always kind of on its way out. When you go to Sam's, you don't buy a box so warm you can't get your arms around it, box of coffee because it keeps. Or I'll buy a huge box of diapers because, man, Lord, they just go like nobody's business. But you don't buy 17 cases of fruit at Sam's because you know there's just this moment that you have to either consume it or it's going to rot. It's going to waste. All fruit in our own life, it either gets consumed or it rots. But this morning, I want to talk to you about something really, really dear on my heart, something that really, you talk about things that you think about all the time. This message is really something that I really do think about all the time. This morning, I want to talk to you about how can you produce from your life lasting fruit? Because I don't know about you, but I want my life to make a difference. And I want to invest in things that aren't going to just be here today and gone tomorrow. And as a parent, I definitely want to, I want to make an impression on my kids that the fruit of my life can be seen by them and makes an impression on them that when I celebrate at my daughter's wedding someday, which is like 35 years from now, when I celebrate on that day, I'm going to celebrate that she's still serving the Lord, right? I'm going to celebrate that she's going to raise her kids. And that's what lasting fruit is to me. As a matter of fact, 3 John has this scripture that to me is a great picture of what it means when we talk about lasting fruit. Look, it says, "For I was overjoyed when the brothers came and testified about your devotion to the truth in which you continue to walk. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." To me, that's like that's the nutshell of what we're going to say today, is that it's my prayer that everything we do as a church, you know, last week, You know, last Sunday we had 145 kids in children's church last Sunday. Is that not amazing? That's awesome. And by the way, Pastor Dave will take your help. He may help you disciple those kids as well. But it's my hope that, you know, years from now, if we run across one of those 145, it's my prayer that every one of them are still have learned about the love of God, learned about the salvation of Jesus, but they're still walking in the salvation of Jesus. That's my prayer. By the way, that's my prayer for you. It's my prayer for us as adults that we'll continue walking the truth. It's my prayer that when you go into your job tomorrow, that you'll live your life in such a way that people will ask the hope that's in your life, that you'll be able to share with them. And whether you work at that place for 6 months, 6 years, or 60 years, when you exit that place, there'll be some fruit. There'll be some impact that you made on their life that lasts, right? Because I want fruit to come out of my life that lasts during my life, but I also want some fruit in my life that lasts beyond my life. And also want to produce some fruit that lasts for eternity. And so when we pray about such things, you're not just coming up with this unique idea that thought, man, that's a great idea. We should want our lives to matter in a way that doesn't just matter for today, but matters for eternity. That's actually not a brand new concept. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said these words, "I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. And he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. And I've said it before, but what really bothers me about this scripture is that Jesus puts a period right there on the end of it. Right? Apart from him, we'll do nothing. If you want to scoot down to verse number 16, listen to Jesus. He keeps on talking. He says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you," listen to this, "that you might go and bear fruit." What kind of fruit? Listen. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you. Father, help us this morning, from the youngest person in the room, from the student to the young adult, to the single folks, us parents, and even grandparents are in the room today. Help us all to live our life in a way. Help us as a church to live our lives and lead our ministries in a way that produces lasting fruit. Father, we don't want fruit that comes and goes. We want fruit that remains. So help us today to develop that kind of fruit, that our lives produce that kind of fruit. And we'll give you thanks for it. Everybody in the room said amen. Amen. So we said a few moments ago, in the natural, all fruit rots or it's consumed. One way or another, in the natural, all fruit is going to go away in a pretty quick term. It's either going to rot away or it's going to be consumed. But this morning, I want to talk to you about supernatural fruit. It's fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit that God does in us that causes our lives to produce something that doesn't just last a moment, but something that can last a lifetime. Because I know what the world does. I know there's a lot of things that the world is involved in that produces fruit. I mean, you can see it advertised on television, but the thing is, it's not all good fruit, and it's not fruit that lasts. And many of the things we do as believers, many things we preach, many things we do as a church, is not normal. But I'm just here to tell you, I've looked at the world long enough, and I don't think I'm in love with normal. Amen? Normal is broken. Normal is busted. Normal means my relationships don't last. Normal means my family is in turmoil. Normal means my sin is wiping out all the things I really loved and invested in. That's the normal way of living. But the normal way of living doesn't produce lasting fruit. It produces passing fruit. But I want to tell you today, I want to talk you into, I believe Jesus wants you to grab a hold this morning that your life can produce lasting fruit today. It really can. Your life can produce lasting fruit. Well, Pastor, you don't know where I've come from. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know how I live. You don't know what my marriage is like. You don't know what my family is like. You don't know what my kids are like. And you are right. But I know what God is like. And I know He can transform every life into being a fruitful life this morning. Don't Don't think that you're on some separate track that God can't bless and God can't change. God can change you. Your life can produce lasting fruit today. And Jesus wants your life. He wants to empower your life. He wants to transform your life so your life can produce lasting fruit. And there might be a person in the room today who thinks, well, Pastor, I've waited too late. My kids are grown. My ministry's over. And you just fill in the blank. And in the natural, some of those things might be true. But with God, anything is possible. And with God, He can take what you think are mistakes and mishaps and devastating blows to your life and broken relationships. And if you'll trust God, He can put some things back together and where your life can produce some lasting fruit. I hope this morning that you desire your life to produce lasting fruit. I hope that's my prayer today. It's my prayer for me. It's my prayer for our church. I hope it's your prayer today that you desire your life to produce lasting fruit. And if that is your desire, then this morning I want to tell you a few ways I believe your life can produce some lasting fruit. And the first thing is that if you want to produce lasting fruit, you've got to learn to be intentional about producing lasting fruit. Jesus said, I am the vine, or I'm the true vine, and my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I know sometimes when we think about producing lasting fruit, we think about, well, that's what pastors do, that's what life group leaders do, that's what super Christians do, that's what people who are more spiritual than I do. But I believe, I'm convinced that it is the plan of God, the will of God for every person in this room, for your life to produce lasting fruit. We're all called. And this is a serious teaching of Jesus. This isn't just something He says one time. This is something He says multiple times through multiple teachings, that your life will produce something. It will produce lasting fruit. I want to ask, would you just make me feel better by saying this statement this morning? I desire to produce lasting fruit. Thank you for saying that. I feel so much better now that we're all on the same page. Because I read something last week that really caught my attention. I didn't say it, so don't get mad at me. But I saw something on Facebook last week. It was a quote. And a person said, many Christians in America today believe it's their duty to find the best church in town and then spend their life sitting on the back seat. Now, if you're sitting towards the back today, don't get your feathers ruffled up. Because it's not about where you sit. It's about what do you do once you get out of your seat? Am I doing something for God? Am I being intentional about making sure my life is creating lasting fruit? We're not just called to exist. See, there's two substitutes that people settle for instead of producing lasting fruit. The first substitute they settle for is they produce no fruit. There's actually a story in the Word of God, and it's in the book of Matthew and also in the book of Mark. There's at least two times in the Word of God where Jesus is walking along the way, and He sees a fig tree from a distance, and He sees it, so He's hungry, and so He walks over to it, and when He gets there, there's no fruit on the tree, and the Bible says He looks at that tree, and He curses it, and it actually dies. It looked healthy, even from a distance. It had foliage. Jesus saw it. He walked to it expecting some sort of fruit. But when He got there, He found no fruit. And so He cursed it. Why? Because it wasn't fruitful. Can I tell you today? Jesus is here to make us fruitful. And He's not satisfied if we're not fruitful. It's not really an option. Several years ago, we were doing church membership, and I had a gentleman turn in a membership card to our church, and it's just like the membership cards we use here on the back. We ask, you know, where are you willing to, am I willing to give, am I willing to serve? And this gentleman actually got his ink pen out and wrote on the back of that card something on the line. I wish I'd remember exactly what it said, but here's the message was, don't ask, I'm not going to give, and I'm not going to serve. And he turned in his membership card. Now, I know most of you think that I'm too spiritual to get upset, but I got mad. I mean, I wanted to call this dude up and tell him where he could take his membership card and what he could do with it. I mean, I was ticked. Forgive me if ticked, not on your approved words. But I was upset. I was bothered. I had righteous anger, whatever you, I was not happy. And I just wanted to, man, what is up with that? And I don't know, either I calmed down or I'm married to a good woman or something kept me from doing what I wanted to do, and I did nothing for a week. And the next Sunday, the guy approached me after service and said, you know, Pastor, I turned in that membership card. I said, yeah. He said, did you read it? I said, yes, sir. And he just kind of ducked his head. He said, man, I've been hurt. I've been disappointed. I'm only here because my wife wants me to be here. And she's making us join the church. And so that's what I filled out. He said, but I went home. He said, the Lord really got a hold of me. And the Lord reminded me that I have something I can do for him. And that I should want to do something. And he said that he repented to me. And he became a member of our church. And can I tell you, when I left town 4 or 5 years later, I could probably call down there today, he was still serving God. He was one of the most faithful serving members we'd ever had. But what changed was he realized that just existing isn't an option. And sometimes we need to get down to business with God and let the Lord speak to us that just producing and bearing no fruit is not an option for a believer. Jesus saw the fig tree and he said, it's not producing any fruit. Here's a second option. If you don't produce good fruit, you'll either produce no fruit, which is a bad option, or secondly, you'll produce bad fruit. Jesus left the fig tree. You know what his next stop was? He continued to walk in and he walked into the temple where people were setting up money changers and the table and making profit off of people's worship. And instead of the temple being a place of prayer, like Jesus said, it should be a house of prayer, it's a place of profit. Instead of being about the priorities of Jesus, it's about the priorities of individual people. And Jesus walked in there, and in essence, he said, this is not just producing no fruit, this is producing bad fruit. And you know, Jesus got upset, right? He began to turn over money changers and run people out of the church. And kicking people out. Why? Because he thought, man, this is bad fruit. This is not acceptable. So there's two things that's not acceptable to Jesus. Number one is no fruit. And number two is bad fruit. Because of what he's called us to is good fruit and lasting fruit. And that comes when we decide I'm going to be intentional in making sure that my choices every single day bring glory and honor to Jesus. Because here's the thing, your life and my life is producing some kind of fruit today. It's either producing lasting fruit or bad fruit. It's either producing fruit that will remain or fruit that just disappears because it's not productive at all. And we produce that fruit by the choices we make about what God says to us every single word. So we gotta be intentional every day to make sure our lives are being lived before him. And then secondly, if we want our lives to produce good fruit, is we got to submit to God's pruning. Now, doesn't that sound exciting? It says he cut off every branch in me that bears no fruit. That's not fun, but listen to this. While even the branches that do bear fruit, he prunes so they will be even more fruitful. So he cuts off those that are not fruitful, but sometimes he even trims back those things that are fruitful. Why? Because he wants them to be more fruitful. This series is called Pursuing the Best Life Possible. How many want your life to be more fruitful this year than it was last year? Right? Which way? Every way, spiritually, financially, relationally, you name a way, and I'm probably game for it. I want the best life possible. I want all that God has for me. But part of the way that God gives me the best life ever, the way I pursue the best life possible, is sometimes I have to submit to his work in my life, which isn't always comfortable. Pruning isn't always comfortable. Sometimes it's messy. If I were to get this water bottle and begin to squeeze it and mold it and shape it, what's going to happen? Why is it going to spill out? Because why? No. It's going to spill out because water's in there. See, when God squeezes our life, what's in us is going to come out of us. And that's why He prunes us. He prunes us to see what's got to come out. Is it something life-giving or life-taking? Is it the bitterness that we've been harboring? Or is it the forgiveness we've been letting God work on us? Listen, without pruning, we grow. What happens is we grow the wrong way. We grow inward instead of outward. We grow bitter instead of compassionate. We grow into apathy. Instead of excitement, we need God to come prune back the fleshly ways, if I can use that old school terminology. We need God to trim back the Greg ways from Greg's life. We need God to come back and trim the parts of our life that we would grow the wrong way so that we can grow the right way and become more productive. And that's not always fun. Remember when I was a youth pastor in the church I was on staff at, we had these islands out in our parking lot. And they had these crepe myrtle bushes. You know what I'm talking about? You seen those? We got a few right out here. But they had grown with no attention at all. So they were like 25, 30 foot tall, and they were so blossomed out, whatever the terminology is, you couldn't even park in the parking spots next to them. It took like a car, it took multiple parking spots that we just couldn't even use because they were so grown over. And so I'd only been on staff for like 2 months, and the pastor called me one day and said, hey, bring your work clothes to work today. We're going to cut down all those bushes. We're not going to cut them down. We're going to trim them back. And so they went from being, 30 foot tall to being this tall. And I walked into service that Sunday morning, and I didn't know if I was going to walk out. I mean, everyone was mad. They were mad at the pastor, and then they found out that I helped him. And they were mad at me. And I thought, here we are, my first job in ministry. I'm gonna get fired for cutting bushes. And it took us from like January to May. And it's a little group of people. And they were just mad. I mean, they were upset that we pruned those bushes. But then late spring, something happened. They began to blossom, and they were beautiful. And those same people that were ready to run me out of town, all of a sudden they start, oh, that was such a good idea. That was so wonderful. We're so glad y'all did that. After months of threatening to meet me behind the, do bad things to me, they rejoice. And sometimes when God prunes us, we're the same way. We're like, oh, God, why are you doing this? When in reality, we actually should be asking the Lord, Lord, prune in me everything that's not growing the right direction. I've met people in life, I know it wouldn't be you, but I've met people in life who have actually been ticked off at God because they rebelled against His pruning instead of submitting to His pruning. Listen, when God begins to prune things in your life, it's not because He's mad at you or because He's hurting you or because He likes to see you suffer. It's because He wants you to do something. He wants to produce fruit in you, and not momentary fruit, but fruit that remains, fruit that lasts forever. And so I'm just praying, Lord, even if it means trimming some stuff back that I'm in love with, God, do what it takes that is necessary, whatever is necessary for me to produce lasting fruit. We all got to pray that prayer. And we are going to submit to it when God begins to do things that maybe we'd prefer Him not doing. See, God cannot set us free from what we insist on hanging on to. And I just tell you, I know God works in all of our lives differently, but the way that God's been working in my life most often is some of the things that He tries to prune off are the first things that I'll say, well, Lord, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that part, and I didn't mean it that much, but it's part of His plan. So So submit to it. If you want to produce fruit that remains, submit when God begins to prune you. Thirdly, no matter what, remain connected to Jesus. I don't know if you got tired of me reading that scripture a few minutes ago. It seemed like I was saying the same thing over again. If it sounded that way to you, it sounded that way to me. I mean, Jesus keeps on using this phrase, remain in me as I remain in you. He says it multiple times. And I don't think he's doing it to be redundant. I think he's trying to tell us something. We've got to remain in him. He says, you can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. And remaining can seem passive. It can seem like, well, I'm just going to sit here and remain in the Lord. Like, I'm just going to sit in this chair. That's what it means to remain in the room. I sit here. But that's not, remaining in Jesus isn't about just sitting in one spot. You could think of it more like, I told the crowd on Wednesday night, more like a racetrack when you're running a track race. Everyone has a lane you have to stay in. You remain in that lane, and as you remain in that lane, you can be fruitful. You can win the race. You can succeed. But if you get out of that lane, what happens? You're disqualified. The same is sort of true in this. Remaining in Jesus means I'm going to stay in him. And there's a few different aspects to remaining in Jesus. I'll give them to you. Number one, remaining in him means to remain in a growing relationship with him. Jesus doesn't just say, now, y'all go out there and be fruitful now. Y'all have a good time with that. Good luck with that. No, he says, remain in me, and I'll also remain in you. You know, I was looking up some different information about NASA and astronauts. And this is like twice in 1 month I've talked about astronauts. I'm not sure. I'll get off my kick in a few minutes. But I discovered there's actually two different types of space suits that the astronauts wear when they're out in outer space, voided environment. And the one spacesuit has this big cord tied to it that you can't go so far from the ship or whatever because it yanks them back. Because they break from that, then bad things happen. They got to have that. The other one, like the one in the picture, actually has inside of the suit itself, it's life support system, basically, where it breathes for you and it produces oxygen for you. It's much like a scuba diver underwater. This lets you go in environments that you normally couldn't survive outside of. But if you stay in the suit, what happens? You stay alive. And to me, that's a better picture when Jesus says, remain in you, and I remain in me, and I'll remain in you. It's like we're clothing ourselves in Christ, and now we're able to function in an environment that would normally kill us, but we're staying alive, and we're thriving, and we're doing things for God in a place where we would normally never do anything for God because we're remaining in him. If you want to produce lasting fruit, stay in your suit. That rhymes, and I wasn't even trying to. If you want fruit, stay in your suit. Stay in your Jesus suit. Stay in him. Stay in him. Remain in relationship, a growing relationship with him. That's why Matthew 28, when Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples, he also told them, and remember this, I'm with you everywhere you go. Jesus doesn't call us to do things without him. He calls us to do life with him. And part of the way we stay in that suit, we stay in that relationship with Christ, is part B of this, is we remain in alignment with God's word. Listen to verse number 10. Jesus said, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. So one of the things that keeps us remaining in him is by living our life in alignment with God's word. Well, what do we call it in those moments we don't live our life in alignment with God's word? Isn't that called sin? We choose our thing over God's thing. And what we do is when we sin, we're starting to like lift the mask on our spaceship, on our space suit. We're starting to give room. It's not that God's kicking us out all of a sudden. We're just opening the door for death and destruction to get in there. And so we're going to remain in him. We've got to stay aligned with God's word. Because if we're not staying in line with His Word, the Bible says that sin actually produces something contrary to lasting fruit. James says that when it's conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. That's what sin's trying to produce in our life. So we've got to stay in alignment with God's Word. I don't know if you ever had the conversation with your parents when you were maybe... You're a lot better than I was, but whatever. You ever had the conversation when you were a teenager or whatever? For me, I think I was about 17 years old when my dad and I had a conversation. I can tell you exactly where we were, what it was about, who the people involved was. But he pulled me outside. I knew I was in trouble, and he said, "Son, let's go outside." I knew I had just said one word too many. And he said, "Son, let's go outside." And I'm not really sure what he said after that until it got to this point where he said, "If you're going to live under my house..." Anyone ever had that conversation? Okay, so it's not just me. He said, "If you're going to live under my roof..." And he filled in the blanks. And inside I was thinking, well, bless God, I won't live under your roof. I'll go live in a cardboard box somewhere. On the inside I was like... But then without opening my mouth, I began to think about, I really do like my bedroom. And I like this car I'm driving. I like my mom's cooking. And so I just stayed... shut. I didn't like the commands. I didn't like the rules. I didn't understand them. I thought they were not intelligent rules. But did you know you don't have to understand God's commands in order to enjoy the fruit that comes from obeying them? God doesn't bless what you understand. He blesses what you obey. And part of the way I produce lasting fruit is not by saying, well, I'm going to understand more of what God is saying. Now, that's part of it. We talked about this past Wednesday night. But it's not just God doesn't bless our understanding. He blesses our application of His Word. And so if we're going to produce lasting fruit, it's not enough for us to know what God's Word says. We've got to do what God's Word says. Rick Warren says, surrendered people obey God's Word, even if it doesn't make sense. And just for for your general knowledge sake, I find myself obeying God's Word a lot when I don't understand it. When it doesn't make sense to me. When it seems like by doing so it's costing me or pruning me or producing in me something at that moment I don't like. I understand if I'll obey it, even when I don't like it, it'll produce something in me that's lasting. Now let me take that quarter and flip it over. When I don't understand it, and I think, well, since I don't understand it, and I don't agree with it, I don't have to obey it, that produces something in me too. It's just not good. And it just doesn't last. And if it does produce something lasting, it's actually something that I usually end up praying would go away. You ever had to live with your own consequences? Sometimes I'm not sure the devil's required for my life. I can do stupid enough that I have to live with my own stupid. And then, sorry, that's not in my notes. I probably shouldn't have said that. But you got to remain in line with God's Word. Here's the next thing. You got to remain in love with one another. I've discovered it's easy to fall in love. What's tough is remaining in love. 1 John chapter 4 says, if someone says, "I love God," but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God who we cannot see? But it takes love for one another to produce lasting fruit. I love how you're shouting, so let me say it again. Did you know it takes love for one another to produce lasting fruit? Listen to this quote John Bevere says. Offended people, which, by the way, if you're not loving someone, that's why you're not loving them. You're not loving them because you're offended by something they did, something they said, whether it was 6 minutes ago or 60 years ago. But listen, this is so scary to me. It says, offended people may still experience miracles, words of utterance, strong preaching, and healing in their lives. But these are gifts of the Spirit, not fruits. We will be judged according to fruit, not gifting. A gift is given, but fruit is cultivated. You know what that word cultivated means? It means you got to work for it. It's not like the apple tree that just sprung up on its own because an apple fell out of your neighbor's tree and landed in your yard and just sprung up. No. Cultivated means you did some work to make sure this is planted and this other thing is not planted. I kept this good seed in my life and I pulled out the weeds of the bad seed. I cultivated it. Remaining in love with one another is not... I feel like I'm helping you more than you want, but here we go. Remaining in love with one another is not the byproduct of always agreeing with one another. Remaining in love with another is not automatically because you never had a disagreement. You never had... Listen, I'm not sure if you've never disagreed with one another or if you've never had a problem with one another. I'm not really sure how strong your love is, because in my life, love has really grown in moments when we're at odds with each other. And yet we chose to submit to one another and, most importantly, submit to God. All that was free. Wasn't in my notes or yours, so just enjoy that. But we got to remain in love with one another. If you want fruit that remains, part of remaining in Christ is remaining in love with Him. There's this, I don't know why I can't get off the subject. I know you wish I would, but there's this theology out there that says, well, I can harbor broken relationships with people and still keep my relationship right with God. Did you know your relationships with people have direct implication on your relationship with God? They do. I don't have any room for bitterness in my life. I don't have any room to hold a grudge against someone who hurt me 10 years ago or 20 years ago. I don't have room for that. And by me saying I don't have room for that doesn't mean that I'm going to bury my feelings or pretend like it never happened. It means I'm going to do what the Word says. I'm going to confront that in myself first and then in them. And with God, I'm going to make sure that there's no friction. There's no hurt in my past. I know it's a lot easier to run from people than it is to remain in love. But I'm just telling you, remaining in love is what produces the lasting fruit in your life. And last, you got to remain dependent on the work of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Those of us, if we're going to produce lasting fruit, understand it. It comes from our living our life dependent on Him, not dependent on our own way of doing. See, producing fruit, I told you earlier, it does take intentionality. It does take remaining in Christ, but it's not something that you sit down and say, okay, today I'm going to produce fruit. Now you can decide today I'm going to plant good seeds. But our job is to remain in Him, and as we remain in Him, He brings forth the right fruit. Remaining in Him allows us to do more than we were ever imagine. Remaining in Him allows us to do things we couldn't do by ourselves. You know, in the book of Haggai, you are introduced to this guy named Zerubbabel. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with his name, but Zerubbabel led a group of God's people back to Jerusalem after they'd been taken hostage. And they come back and their main objective is to rebuild the temple. Everything that they grew up seeing and knowing how God moved was all about this one temple, this one place where they were. And they came back to rebuild the temple, and they got back. And the temple was in such ruins. The whole city was in such ruins that they started working on it. But it was so devastated that they just quit. They thought, this job is too big. We don't have enough resources. We don't have power. So they thought, instead of doing this ginormous job, Let's just pick something smaller and do that. Let's do something we can succeed in. And so instead of building the temple, they begin to build their own heart, their own homes, their own lives. And then you find that the Lord shows up and he gives Zerubbabel this dream. And in this dream, he shows him a picture of the temple where there's this lamp. And picture with me, not like a lamp we have, but like a lamp that runs off of oil. But in this picture, this lamp that God shows him is a lamp that runs on oil, but it's not. It doesn't just have the oil in the base that you can usually see through the glass. You can see how much oil is in there. Instead of it just being a lamp by itself, it was actually a lamp that had a pipe attached to it. And the Lord asked Zerubbabel, "Do you understand what I'm showing you when you see this lamp with a pipe attached to it?" And Zerubbabel said, "I really don't understand what you're showing me, Lord." And the Lord says, "You've been looking at your life based on your own ability. And what you see is you see your life as like a lamp that has a limited amount of oil, a limited amount of energy, a limited amount of potential. But the Lord says, but I'm showing you a different picture. I'm showing you a lamp that your life is more like a lamp that has a pipe attached to it. And it might be attached on this end to your life, but on the other end, it's attached to my life." And then the Lord says to him, this part you do know the story of, "For it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by what? It's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts." So he says, stop building and stop tackling dreams and visions that are your sized. And let's start tackling things that are God-sized. Because God hasn't asked us, what can you produce? His question is, what does God want to produce in you and through you? And I'll give you the answer in a nutshell. It's lasting fruit. Fruit that remains. Fruit that makes an impact on today's generation, but also generations to come. And so I want to ask you, bow your heads this morning. And we're going to pray this morning. We're going to pray for lasting fruit. And it comes from depending on Him, remaining on Him. And if you're sitting in the room today, say, "Pastor, I want lasting fruit from my life." Let me tell you how it begins. Number one, it begins by following Jesus. And you're here this morning, you've never made Jesus the leader of your life. You've never chosen Him to take the moment and make Him the leader of your life, your Savior and your Lord. But today, you know that, hey, I am not following Jesus, and what my life has been producing has not been good. And today, I need to switch gears. I need to give my life to Him. I'm ready for my life to stop producing no fruit and bad fruit. I'm ready to talk about starting to produce the things that God promises me, like life and love and joy and peace, salvation, hope beyond the day. And you know you're not right with God today, and you've been dealing with the fruit of that, and today you need to get your heart right with God. Would you just lift a hand real quick? That's me, Pastor. Pray for me. Amen. Who else today? Amen? Amen? Who else today? Amen? Amen? The back? Yes. About five hands went up. Who else tonight? Today? That's you. I want to ask Jackson and Jennifer to come. They're going to stand right here on my right. If you lifted your hand, I just want to ask you to open your eyes real quick and look at these guys. In just a minute, I'm going to pray a prayer. And at the end of service, they're still going to be standing here, and they would love to tell you what to do next. I'd love to pray with you if you need more prayer. So when we're done with service today, if you lifted your hand, come and see them. Let them encourage you and walk with you in this new relationship with Jesus. But I want to ask everyone in the room to say this prayer with me together, with those who lifted their hands. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. And thanks for speaking to me today. It was you who spoke to me and reminded me that I need you in my life. So Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Today I turn to follow you. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. From this moment on, I'm going to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. That prayer is not the ultimate climax of your salvation. It's the beginning of your walk with the Lord. And we'd love to walk it with you today. And the Word of God says if we confess in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, we believe that He was raised from the dead by God the Father, that we can have life and life abundant. So this morning, though repeating a prayer doesn't necessarily change anything, saying a prayer from your heart can change everything. If you said that prayer and you embrace that truth from your heart today, you have moved from death to life. And the Bible says that the angels rejoice when one person does that. And so since there's 4 or 5 people doing that today, won't we all just give the Lord a hand clap today for those who made that decision? Amen. We love you, Lord. And I want all the rest of us to stand together today. I asked you earlier to say this statement with me. I want my life to produce lasting fruit. That is a sincere cry of my heart. I hope it's a sincere cry of your heart. I can tell you it's a sincere cry of our church's heart, the leadership of our church's heart, the staff of our church. That's sometimes we do things that we don't even like, but it's because we want to produce something beyond ourselves, beyond our own desires. We want to produce lasting fruit. And that comes from abiding in Him, being intentional, remaining in Him with the decisions of our life, honoring God when it's comfortable, when it's not, submitting to moments when He prunes us. And you may be in one of those seasons today. Maybe you're in a season of pruning. He's cutting some things off of you. Don't be mad about it. Embrace it, knowing that God's got more growth for you. Maybe you're having a hard time sort of staying put in the Word of God or the house of God. Listen, remain in Him. Remain in His love. Remain in His Spirit. Remain in His Word. Remain among His people. Produces lasting fruit. So today, I want to pray for all of us. And if you want to produce lasting fruit in your life, would you just join me? And you just begin to call to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, give us lasting fruit. Father, all across this room, we just cry out for lasting fruit today. Fruit that remains. Lord, fruit that goes beyond our life. Lord, fruit that makes a difference in this life, but also beyond this life. God, I pray for lasting fruit in our families. Lord, that our children will know you and they will follow you all the days of their life. God, I pray for lasting fruit over our church, that we will not just be people that are sowing seeds of life for the moment. We'll sow seeds for a lifetime that will produce generations of life-giving gospel upon this planet and beyond this planet. Lord, give us lasting fruit. Let our lives be marked with lasting fruit. Fruit that remains is our prayer. Give it to us. Let us walk in that. Let us make it a priority, not just this day, but every day of our life. And we'll give you thanks for it. And Lord, I just pray over this people today. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you bless them, you keep them, let your face shine upon them, give them peace, give them joy. Let their steps be ordered by you every day of their life. In Jesus' name. Would you give the Lord a hand clap for His word today? Lord, we love you today. We rejoice in who you are. Amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.